Now, the next thing we need to look at is the level of abstraction or specificity of our ideas. So we can move our thinking, and you can move your thinking, in a range from abstract all the way to specific. You can get very abstract or very specific. And let's look at page 39 for an example. The hierarchy of ideas is really an easy way to learn language and really an easy way to learn the difference between abstract and specific. So let me begin by giving you an example, and we're going to talk about two different directions in which one could think or in which one could speak. Chunking down, that's a technical term. It simply means getting more specific. It simply means moving more toward the specific. That's on the bottom left-hand side of your diagram there on page 39. Chunking up means moving more toward the abstract, and that's on the upper left-hand side of your diagram there on page 39 on the hierarchy of ideas. Now let's take an example, and we'll use the example of cars, and we're going to start right in the middle. We'll start right in the middle there where it says cars. And I'd like to use an example which could almost be a real-life example. But let's say you called me on the phone, and you got me on the phone and you said, "Hey, Tad, my car isn't working. Can you help me?" Now, even if I knew something about cars, I'd probably want to ask you some questions about whether or not I could help you. I probably would have to, you know, go through and ask you a series of questions, which probably would get more detailed as I asked you the questions. So I'd have to chunk down. I'd have to move more toward the details. If you look at the bottom of the in-trance column, very, very down at the bottom, it says the structure of details, sensor, it's specific, and it brings a person out of trance. So you call me on the phone and you say, "Okay, Ted, my car is not working." Now, if I knew about cars, and I knew about all types of cars, I might ask you questions about the parts of the car. And so I could say to you, "Well, what part of your car is not working? Is it the whole car, or is it probably not the whole car? So what is it in your car that's not working?" You might say, "Well, I don't know, but it seems to be around the wheels." Well, I would say, "What's wrong with the wheels?" And you could say, "Well, you know, there's some problem in the hubcaps." And I would say, "What's the problem in the hubcaps?" And you would say, "Well, I'm hearing a noise coming out of the hubcaps." And I would say, "Oh, take off the hubcap in question, and what's going on?" And you might take off the hubcap and get back to me and say, "5 out of the 6 lug nuts are missing." And I'd go, "Whoa, now there's a problem." That's something, even if you don't know much about cars, that you could probably help the person with. "My car isn't working. There's not much I can do about that. But if I get down into the specifics and really discover that the lug nuts are missing, then there's something we can do about that, and that's specific enough." Now, let's say that I wasn't an expert on all cars. So before I even asked you what was wrong with your car, I'd have to know what kind of car you had. And let's say I didn't know, for example. So I would either at that point, having chosen parts before, I'd have to choose classes and categories in this case. And I'd move over to classes and categories, and I would say, "What kind of a car do you have?" And you might say, and there's different kinds of cars like BMWs or Pontiacs. But let's say you said, "I have a Pontiac." You have a Pontiac. So I say, "Oh, a Pontiac." Now, if I knew something about Pontiacs, I would say, "Well, what kind of a Pontiac?" And you might say, "Well, I have one of those old Fieros." Do you remember the Fiero? And if I knew Pontiacs and if I knew Fieros, I'd go, "Yeah, I do know Fieros. what's the problem? Oh, by the way, is it a GT or not?" And you'd say, "Yeah, it's a GT." And I'd say, "Yeah, you probably ought to trade it in." Just kidding. Okay, so we had to get real specific to find out if I could help you. Did I know anything about Pontiacs? Did I know anything about the GT? By the way, the Pontiac Fiero was a great-looking car, but it really was a dog. So, woof. So in helping you or in asking you if I can help you, I need to get real specific enough to know what the problem is in terms of the parts of the car or what the kind of car is so that I can get real specific about that. Now, let's say that I wanted to chunk up, but let's say I wanted to go in the opposite direction. Now, if I move a person, if together we move more toward the details and we get more specific, that brings a person out of trance. If I move in the opposite direction, notice at the top of the page it says in trance, and that has to do with an intuitor, which a sensor and intuitor are Myers-Briggs categories, and we talk about that in the master track. And that's a big picture person, and we may use the Milton model to get there. Now, so let's say we're going to go to a higher level of abstraction from cars, And by the way, there are some questions on the left-hand side, which I could use to chunk either up or down. So let's look at the questions for chunking up, because I think it'll make it a little bit easier. Chunking down was probably rather intuitive for you. If it wasn't, there are some questions on the left-hand side on the bottom. Chunking up is often not quite as intuitive for some people, so let me give you some questions you could ask yourself. And that's right underneath the upward arrow on the left-hand side. And the questions you could ask yourself is, what is this an example of? Or you could ask yourself, for what purpose? Or you could ask yourself, what is your intention? So let's see what we get. Let's see what we get if we ask ourselves one of these three questions as we chunk up. So let's see, cars. What are cars an example of? And cars, of course, are an example of transportation. And what is transportation an example of? And transportation is an example of movement. And what is movement an example of? And movement, of course, and this is a rather large leap for those of you who are logical levels fans. This is a rather large leap. Large leap to existence. Movement is an example of existence because in order to move, you must first exist. If I'd had more room on the paper, I probably could have put some more words in there, but it looked as though we were rather running out of room, so we just jumped right up to existence. Now notice, no matter how many times you have to chunk up, no matter how many times you have to go up to a higher level of abstraction, that eventually you end in existence, or you end up in all that there is. This is why the hierarchy of ideas is so useful. So you can begin to talk about an issue all the way from very specific to very abstract. And let me tell you why you'd want to do this. This is so, so, so important. I can tell you a couple of different stories. The first, I guess, is we were training the military intelligence of the Pacific, and we did a training at the military intelligence of the Pacific in Honolulu. And I was working with a number of people at the level of colonel in the Army, and there were some other Navy and other folks in different divisions who were present at the training. And one guy took our training and then told me the story, and it's just really stuck in my mind. And he said one day he got a call from a general. And the general had a bunch of troops stationed in Hawaii. And the general said to him, you know, he said, I really need a quick report on the conditions in the Middle East. Can you get me a report? And so the colonel thought and thought. He said, okay, I wrote him a really good report. He said, and what he said was, he came back and he said, well, we have this many divisions stationed in Europe, and we have this many troops on the ground. We have this many ships. These warships are placed here and this and that and so forth. And these troops are here, and the deployment situation is this. And he said he wrote such a detailed report, it took him a day or two to write this report. And he got back to the general, and the general said, that's not what I want. I want to know how are the people, what's going on with the people? You know, what's the big picture? What's the big picture in the Middle East? And so the colonel went back and wrote the whole thing up on what's the big picture in the Middle East and submitted to the general. The general said, great report. And then a week later, he got a call from an admiral. And the admiral said, what's the condition in the Middle East? And so he gave to the admiral the report he'd given to the general, the second report he'd given to the general, which was, you know, this is what the people are thinking. And the admiral called him on the phone and said, that's not what I wanted. What are the conditions of the troops? What's the readiness? So notice that the general had wanted something that was rather abstract or big picture. Notice that the admiral had wanted something that was quite detailed, something that was more into the specifics. If you know what kind of detail or what level of detail that the person you're communicating to needs, you'll be able to communicate exactly the right thing at the right time. By the way, this is also useful in negotiation, because negotiation essentially is the process of gaining agreement. Now, what's the process of gaining agreement? Well, if you look at the issue of chunking up on the upper left-hand side in the chart, it says chunking up, and right under that it says agreement. Agreement is impossible if you're chunking down. That is, if you go more and more into details and distinctions, it becomes less and less possible to gain agreement. I'm not saying it's totally impossible, but it becomes more less and less possible as you chunk down, and more possible as you chunk up. Here's an example from my own experience. And I, by the way, have done a lot of negotiation over the years. And one of the most fun ones, we were working with a business in California, and there were two owners. And the owner said, we want you to come and do our business planning with us. We really want you to help us and do business planning. We said, okay, so we'll come and do business planning. And they said, but how are you going to get us to agree on what the plan is? And I said, well, we have a pretty good system. We call it the hierarchy of ideas. It'll help us get pretty well clear in what we want. He said, well, I just don't believe it's possible. He said, if you don't get us to agreement, we're not going to use you in terms of doing your business planning. So we said, okay, but we were so sure we could do it. And we simply asked him one question. We said, what are you in business for? What's the purpose of being in business? And we asked that question, so what purpose? We asked the question, for what purpose? What's the purpose for being in business? What are you in business for? And he said, well, this, this, this. And we eventually got to making a profit. So we said, so no matter how you make a profit, no matter what we do to make a profit, that's fine. He said, yes. Then we asked the other person, what are you in business for? And of course, the answer is to make a profit. If we focus on the higher intent, if we focus on the higher intention, which is the next question, the third question, then agreement becomes very, very easy. And the hierarchy of ideas is such a simple, it's a very, very simple model that will allow you to chunk up and down and allow you to be the master of whatever level you need to communicate at. Now think about it for a moment. Master communicators of all time have been able to control the level of communication, whether you chunk up and get very abstract or whether you chunk down and get very, very specific.